Hi, and welcome to this new episode of The Light Leaders. And today we have another episode in the series I'm doing, interviewing the other founders of an event called the Club DAO Universe Incubator. It's going to happen in April here in Bali, in Ubud. And Gil, you've joined the team of the founders. And so I'm really interested in what you're doing in general and also to present that so people can have an idea also of the kind of profiles that we have at the event. So Gil, you're a serial entrepreneur, you're a father of three, you've been working with Tony Robbins, with Eckhart Tolle, you've spoken at more than 1,000 events, and you're like a master networker. I've been to some of your networking events. And when Will, we did a podcast with him, said you were gonna be part of the 30 founders of the event in April, I was really excited also. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, of course. Yeah, great. Excited.
Yeah, me too.
And excited to serve you guys.
My first question for you, Gil, what are you grateful for today?
So today specifically, it's easy to focus. Usually when I wake up in the morning, I turn to my left and I'm very grateful to my wife who's there next to me. And then as soon as I get out of bed, you know, I'm grateful that my body still works and everything is still strong. As soon as I stand out of bed, I'm grateful for having three amazing kids running around the house and usually waking up before me. Very grateful for Mother Bali, because when I look outside of my bedroom, massive edible garden that I could live off if I needed to, which is exciting to have that at home. And then, you know, just today itself, today we had an amazing follow-up to an event we had just yesterday, which is a big mastermind event. Today we had the VIPs come together, people that are very resourceful, people that want to make a big difference in the world, and they just need a better strategy. So I was super grateful to them and so much more, man. I'm just grateful. Yeah, I can easily spend the entire session right now tell you what I'm grateful for today.
Yeah, of course, there's a lot, especially in a beautiful place like here and with the beautiful lives that we have. And I think you and I and many of the listeners are very aligned on, we want to create the new wealth. We already live in it somehow. We want to keep creating that, right? And the event in April is going to be a lot of that. What I feel sometimes when I'm living here in Ubud, when I'm at masterminds in conscious communities, that a lot of people do a lot of amazing things, but often a bit isolated. And I have that almost joke that sometimes, because I've organized masterminds too of conscious entrepreneurs, and that half of the people there, they're there to gather the community. But often it can be under their umbrella and their project. So in general, I love connecting people more. And I'm also really interested in the event in April, because with the DAO technology, I find that it makes it in a way easier to be interconnected without being under your brand or my brand, right? Is that, is that something you feel is true in conscious community, that people are a bit isolated?
So it's not just in conscious communities. I think that in all communities in the world and most businesses that I've looked into, and after 20 plus businesses in different industries, I've seen it repeat and repeat. Most human beings still have a human need that's connected to significance.
But still, if just on the difference there, I still feel like governments or huge corporations, they still can sometimes have tens of thousands of people kind of going in the same direction.
Yes and no. So every government would have many, many different departments, and every company would have, you know, different segments of product that they want to push for. For me personally, I've been through that where we've built communities for people like Tony Robbins, Eckhart Tolle, as you mentioned, and another dozen amazing speakers in the world. And then we kind of found that significance became important, and we wanted to start building a community for ourselves. And very quickly, I gave that up because I felt that I'd rather unite other communities. And we've been doing that for the last 10 years. We've been basically bringing communities together that usually would not cross-pollinate. Usually they would want to set up their own. And what happens a lot is they cannibalize into each other's communities, because a lot of these people want to come together. What we do right now at every single mastermind, we identify 5 to 7 usually communities. We ask them each to bring some of their key representatives. We ask people to pay money into it, so they're actually, they have skin in the game. They're actually invested in something, which means they'll come in on time, they'll make notes, they'll stick to the whole event, and they'll actually have a follow-up. which we find that a lot of people in the conscious communities will show up at events and not necessarily, they'll sit there and be inspired, and they'll sit there and say, wow, I love it, and how can I take this into my life? And there isn't necessarily a follow-up on how can I serve everyone else in my circle, not just how can I take into my life right now.
Okay. Yeah, it's beautiful to put on, like, also helping other communities, right? Like,
It's been our focus, and we're going to continue doing that. Yeah. And instead of reinventing the wheel and setting up our own events, we'll partner up with existing events. Instead of setting up our own business, we'll find someone who's doing something similar and help them, which is why I love Will and why I love what, you know, what you guys do, because they're doing something I love. I'd rather just give them energy, give them resources, invest, sponsor, bring in the right kind of people and say, hey, we're already burning a nice fire together. Let's make it a little bit bigger fire and bring more light onto it.
Yeah. I agree. And that's why I'm really excited about that. And I'm very grateful to everyone that came and supported Will, because I think also because of Will's personality, and we know he's like, I don't feel it's much an ego trip, for example, at all. And so it's also more inviting for people to help. So that's more on a personal human level. And I feel then on a branding level, the DAO technologies help a lot.
Because 100%.
Then, for example, personally, I can go there and be in the Club Universe DAO and be part of that. And I'm not the one who initiated that, but maybe if I'm still in my ego, I want to be a founder of, I can come with the Light Leaders podcast, for example, and can still be a DAO inside the bigger DAO.
I think the DAO structure helps us to understand and measure value in and value out. Mm-hmm. It helps us understand, how do we manage resources? If you have 30 co-founders coming together, how do we get them to shine the light in the same direction when needed? What happens a lot with, especially with the conscience communities, where people are very much in flow all the time, if there's a specific deadline of an event that has to be running on time, and if you have everybody in flow, that event might not happen on time, the speakers might not show up on time, the right amount of guests might not show up on time, the right vendors might not show up on time, which means a DAO structure will actually create some kind of a frame. So people could still be in flow, which I love being in flow, but I love having that structure and the team around me that kind of creates a framework, and it creates a matrix that we created ourselves. We said, hey, this is the new matrix we want to create for ourselves. This is the event. This is the concept. How can we work within it? And how can we bring people so people know when to buy a ticket and where to show up and where to sleep and what speakers are showing up? And there's a lot of details. When you have a lot of people working towards a lot of details, just you need some sort of a framework, and the DAO is just a beautiful way for everyone to see and measure and feel rewarded at the end of the day. Hey, that's what I contributed, and this is kind of the knowledge, the wisdom, the experience, potentially even some sort of a fund that I can actually take back home with me.
Yeah, and to explain to the listener, DAO, most of them probably know, but if you don't, decentralized autonomous organization, which is a way to govern an organization which is decentralized. When people participate, they get token that can give voice and that can give value. So an example I like to share is, imagine Facebook as a DAO. If you're an early user, it means you have a voice in the direction of the company. And if the company explodes, you actually have tokens that increase in value. So it's a bit like you're both part of the governance and a shareholder of them. This, right?
Imagine if so many of us that were early adopters would be shareholders. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. And that's what's happening, I feel, with the new social media platform that are going to emerge, the Web3.1. Well, the people who will help grow them, they will be also supported. And actually, I used to be in network marketing, and network marketing has a part of shadow that pushed me a bit away from it personally, at least for some business models. But what I really liked in it was actually that what you said about flow and structure, I could be part, and what we talked about, bigger organization, I could be part of a bigger movement without being just a solopreneur, but I still kept my freedom as an entrepreneur.
Of course, but network marketing is amazing for some people because there's a system, there's a platform, there's a structure. And if you're willing to play their game, which is great for many, many people, then you're able to earn, you're able to connect and meet new people, Most MLM companies and network marketing companies have amazing personal development and education, which is usually for free, which is incredible. I've actually spent a lot of time with network marketing companies in the last 10 years, never inside of them. I've never actually joined one. The reason is I teach them how to do what they do.
Yeah.
I teach them the networking strategy and how to scale a community and how to build your own network and how to find strategic partnerships, how to move into a new country and very quickly have a soft landing and have some friends and some connections and create new venture building opportunities for yourself, or even become a magnet for yourself so you can become a magnet for the right people. So I think network marketing platforms are great for some people, and I actually believe that in the future, many DAOs will actually end up working a little bit like them, so that if you're inviting enough people and you're inviting good quality people, you'll be rewarded for it. And it would also allow us to exchange, I believe in barters and exchanges within a community itself, so that we don't need to rely on outside currencies and on outside banks, even though I still believe that for many, many more years, we'll still be able to have some paper money and some bank cards. But it's nice that 50% of all of my expenses and spendings is actually spent within a community. That would be like, wow, I'm loving this.
That's one of the things that annoyed me was, for example, I was working with Healy, and I would buy those subscriptions, and then I would pay credit card fee, and then they paid me through a system where there was a bunch of fees. So it was like, if 20% of my earnings I would reinject into buying some subscriptions, there was like maybe 10% all the time that got leached out to credit card company, to exchange rate on PayPal stuff and all that. Well, with a crypto, you don't have that leaching.
You still will have some kind of a system that needs to earn from supporting us to transact and to barter. There still has to be a body that is making it work. So I don't see it as leeching. I also don't see it as taxing. I see it as almost like old school thinking, being a middleman. Mm. It's completely okay to have some middleman as long as I've agreed to it, as long as it's transparent and everybody knows what everyone makes.
My problem with the leeching wasn't that part going to Healy. It was the part going to credit card companies, to banks, to the like third parties for transactions of fiat currencies.
Mm.
Yeah. And potential tax, these kind of things. Anyway, so as I said, I'm very excited that you'll be at the incubator. What are you going to bring there?
So I'm going to be there for the second part of the incubator. First part of the incubator, I'm traveling my family to Israel for a massive family gathering. Families coming from all over the world. And for me, this gathering that everybody's coming together is a family coming together and a new family being born. Mm. And I've been really strong for the last, 10 plus years at bringing groups together and helping them become families. Historically, I'm a shy, introverted networker. I'm an immigrant since the age of 10. So having those complexes within me, it's only until my mid-20s that I really started coming out of my shell and learning how to talk to people and starting a conversation, or learning even how to talk to women. It's really only in my early 30s that I stepped out into the stages and learned how to actually speak in front of an audience. And I've learned that everything I've done is just a process, and it's specific rituals and habits that anyone could learn. I've also learned how to expedite that, so no one needs years to build confidence or be able to get on stage. We can do that with people in minutes. We've also learned techniques and hacks how to create and build trust between people very, very quickly. I don't just believe in masterminds, which, I'm a huge fan. I believe in master heart sessions, where you get people to really activate the collective genius. You get the vortex to start working so that real ideas get put onto a real active action plan, so that when amazing people come together and we have the dreamers around, we have some people that are the project leaders. We have some people that love administration. I don't, but I love that there's some people that love to sit there and make notes. It's amazing. I have some of those people around me, and I make sure to have them. And one of my genius and superpowers is to be able to identify who do we have in the room and how do we empower each one of them so that the dreamers' dreams and they're the artists. They give us the visions and the plans and the ideas, and this is amazing. But We need the project managers to put it down on some paper. We need that to become some sort of a mind map. We need to agree on some kind of an action plan to have a structure. We need to agree on when is the next event and who else do we need and what resources do we need. And it's not just everyone saying, I have an idea and I need investors. But it's actually breaking it down. Because I love setting up companies, my objective is to bring the right people together to create an authentic networking lounge where people come in that lounge. And it's not about just, what do you do? Let me take your WhatsApp number. There is no phones allowed in those lounges. We'll facilitate almost like a speed networking solutions for people following specific algorithms that we believe really work. I love hosting and holding space for people to be able to share what it is that they need or potentially what went wrong in their life and where they might need a helping hand. I love doing that. So that's a part of my superpowers. It's what I want to give. And of course, my biggest passion is getting on a stage and facilitating any type of an audience to connect right now and to connect deeply.
Yeah, and actually what you said about, you know, people, what I understand is helping people bring in their genius also, like whether they're into admin stuff or accounting or public speaking. And to go back to the DAO organizations, but also to network marketing, when you work together in bigger organization, that also allows you to do that more, right? So I find a problem sometimes in the conscious solopreneur is first that it's a bit harder to create the new us if we don't all pull in the same direction, but also it forces people to do things they don't like to do. Personally, I'm not a big fan of doing legal stuff. So I'm very happy to support Will, who's been looking into creating a church and doing all the things legally to like have those sovereign nation kind of things that I'm dreaming about. But and same, we need accountants, all that. And often when you're a solopreneur, you end up doing a lot of things that you don't like to do, right? Or that's not your genius. But when we collaborate like this and find the right people, then I can be like, okay, I'm not going to take care of the legal or the accountant, the accounting, because I have people who enjoy it.
I think it's exactly that. You know, you hit the nail on the head, because it's most solopreneurs are not solopreneurs because they understand the options. The solopreneurs because maybe they're afraid that someone will steal their dream. Maybe they're solopreneurs because they've never been a part of a team. Maybe they're solopreneurs because they don't know how to delegate or escalate. Maybe they're solopreneurs because they don't know how to ask for help.
Maybe because they're swinging the pendulum the other way after being employees from dependence to
potentially independence. You know, I don't know their history necessarily, but what I do know is to break through people's patterns very, very quickly to enable people to understand that we don't need another Me Too. We don't need another event that gathers 20, 30 people talking about the exact same thing. We need much bigger events to come together. Right now, for example, I'm talking to a few friends to do something similar to what we have here in Bali, Bali Spirit Festival, with that team, and actually doing it on the other side of the world, like in Dubai. Right now we're talking about doing the Dubai Spirit Festival. So it's focusing also on communities that have the resources and are interesting in stepping into this realm of people that are a little bit more awakened, and bringing those people together and not bringing them for one day, but like, you know, this is happening, bring them maybe for 5 days and allowing them to have structure, allowing them to have not just speakers, but facilitators, allowing them to have mind maps on the wall so that everyone basically comes together. Because I believe that many people in our community, at this stage, no one has any more new ideas. It's all downloads that we have. It's similar ideas that we have. It's similar downloads that we have. And we all want that community that works together and lives together. We all want those kind of families that are sharing. You know, I don't need my kids to have 100 books. I don't need to have such a massive edible garden for my own family, which is like 50% or 80% of our garden we give away to people. I don't need to sell it. I want to just give it to people, and I don't need to exchange. I just want them, hey, come to my house and take.
It's yours. Brother. We have, I'll show you after. We have the permaculture garden here we've started, and same, we want to share. And you hit it on the nail also when you talk about, I don't want another event where it's like talking about it. And because also after being 4 years here in Ubud and in those conscious community, going to mastermind like yours, like Virginia Salas Castillo's, who's also a founder, and she's doing amazing masterminds, and my friend Nicole Gibson, and myself, I've organized a few. It's like those one day, it's like, yeah, you go, you're pumped, but it's like, what next? You know? And I think with the incubator that we're going to join in April, what really attracted me was first the length, like those first 5 weeks, also being in person, and also thanks to DAO technologies, like we go there not just to be inspired, we go there to create DAOs. I come, I already have 4 DAOs. I want to do a land-based community. I want to do my podcast media platform as a DAO, or join another one potentially. I'm interested in a fruitarian raw vegan one, and also in a permaculture one, actually. So it's like okay, we're gonna create there, and that I feel is different than a lot of events that are amazing and that we've been to, but now it's time.
I'm excited basically because the length of the event is one, but I know many of the founders that are coming together, and of course there's a lot of people in the community who I've known for years, who are dreamers, who I haven't seen tangible projects for them that have lasted for more than a couple of months. I'm someone who believes in building companies, and it doesn't have to be an old school company. It could be a DAO, it could be a project, it doesn't matter how we label it. It needs to have a structure of a team. It needs to have some sort of a project plan. It needs to have some level of management or leadership that drives it forward. It has to have a financial model. Yeah. Whatever currency we use, we need to be able to transact. We need to be able to pay someone to do something. And yes, we do. You might need some money. So it's not about having necessarily investors, but it's having the right contribution from the right people to move something forward, because I've built a lot of companies in my life. I love successful failures. So I don't mind failing at business at all. Failure is good. It's okay. As long as we learn from it, as long as we grow from it. And, you know, what I've gone through in tech industry and in mobile apps has helped me a lot today to say to people that say to me, hey, let's build a mobile app. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I don't need to build a mobile app because the ideas I have already exist with someone else. I could just go and help them. And I can even get them to pay me money to help them, which is amazing, which is why I try to tell a lot of people in the conscious communities, if you have a vision, find 5 other companies that are doing the exact same thing and join their team for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Just see what it's like to work in a collective. See what it's like. It's okay to have a boss. Mm-hmm. It's okay, because it's not really a boss. They don't really pay you a salary. It's more of a collective that comes together, but it has to have a leadership team. Yeah. Someone needs to say, hey, we're going in that direction and in this time frame. And to me, this is a really cool test for the people who are listening, to see if when we come as a team, each can not just contribute whenever they wish, but each could deliver for the other person. Mm-hmm. And for me, this is really the collective genius. It's even deeper. It's even karmic partnership, where I want us to succeed. So I want you to grow. I want you to be helpful to the team. I want you to be able to get the help that you need in order for all of us to co-elevate together.
Mm, yeah, thank you. I hold to that, Gil. And also something you shared a little bit earlier was about when you do mastermind, like also connecting the heart. You talked about master heart, right? Actually, my friend Nicole Gibson, she calls her masterminds master heart, which I think is really cool. And together, like-minded and like-hearted people. And that's also something I'm really excited about at the incubator, is that there's nothing wrong with, you know, just gathering and working. There's some people that are programmer or coders, they go for a hackathon, they're like, let's code together, that's their thing, that's amazing. But for me, it's really good to be there and be, oh, let's, I don't know, I guess, let's do move together, let's connect our hearts in different ways, let's have a cacao ceremony or something together. And then it feels way easier to co-create. That's how I feel, at least.
I completely agree. Being in a boot for many years, the eye gazing, the cacao, the tea, whatever, everything else definitely can open up the heart. But I've learned that there's very simple solutions to opening up people's heart, which is just basically attention. And I use a lot of algorithms, and specifically looking to hack how we understand time to open people's heart. Because if you're able to give attention to someone for a period of time, your heart and their heart will open up whether you like it or not. So for me, facilitating master heart sessions, we don't need any external support to do that. We just need attention for each other.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's really cool, but I think also
it's good to have all of the above. Events, yeah. It's good to have all of the above. I'm just, from my side, a master heart is me being able to share vulnerably, you know, what I've gone through maybe just in 1 minute.
Yeah.
Or me being able to share a massive lesson in life that maybe I think the circle needs to hear right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or me being able to share, you know, one of the biggest breakthroughs I had in the past year, but can I do it in just 1 minute and then give you 1 minute and give the other person just 1 minute and see if we could be the same.
And that's really good that you bring it up, because I think it's a balance. It's good to do high vibe events, we do a ceremony, but it can still stay pretty impersonal. So if you balance it with more like deep, vulnerable shares, then you feel truly connected. It's not just a love and light, high vibes thing.
I like more of the sharing,
yeah,
less of the ecstatic dancing, yeah, for me personally.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I like both. Yeah. And yeah, that makes for me then it's like networking more genuine, more nice, more enjoyable, because I'm also the kind, if I don't feel that, even if I have very smart people with me, it's like I can feel my energy drops. I'm not that into it. And I guess that's like the art of creating masterminds or networking situations.
Energy dropping is very, very common, usually with people who are, you know, level 3, level 4, even level 5 introverted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a level 4 introvert. And
does that mean?
I've only understood introverts and extroverts in my early 30s when I started reading.
Because I'm still not sure.
Yeah, so I started reading about networking and trying to understand how can I really step out of my shell?
Mm-hmm.
How can I really come out of it? And I started looking at all these different books, and one of my favorite books was Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi,
mm-hmm,
who today is a friend. You know, just a few weeks back, he was at my house for dinner. And for me, that's kind of blowing my mind to say that someone who for years I saw as a mentor, I was able to create the right strategy in my life to make him a friend today,
mm,
so that I can help him and he can help me. And so losing energy in networking is usually comes from multiple reasons. Number one, you're not at the event with a specific intention. So it's not clear. You're just there openly networking. Like people say, oh, I just trust the universe. The universe will bring me the right kind of people. Okay, trust the universe, but does the universe know what you want?
Mm. It's
very, very simple. Does the universe know what you want? Have you told the universe, I want to meet these kind of people? So I believe in network manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
I believe before walking into any gathering or any event,
mm-hmm,
I will say to myself, sometimes I'll write it down, this is the kind of people I would love to, you know, start conversations with today. This is the kind of people I would love to meet today. And I promise you, universe, if you bring those people into my life, I will listen to them. I'll follow up with them. And I will do my best to build a relationship with them. And this is a mantra that you can say to yourself, and the universe really listens. I really believe it. I've tested it out. I've tested it on others. It works. It doesn't work every time. It doesn't work 100% of the time because we're human.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person that we might need to meet might stand next to us, but maybe we haven't had enough practice to start a conversation with a pretty lady.
Mm.
Or maybe we haven't had enough practice to speak to someone who looks poor. I took that upon myself in my mid-20s to learn how to speak to homeless people.
Mm.
And I literally used to speak to 5 or 10 different homeless people every single day for more than a year. Every single day, my first year in England, when I was leaving work, I went to there was a bakery right next to me, and I bought everything they didn't sell for the whole day. And they gave me a big discount. I didn't have much money. I went to the supermarket, bought some water and bought some apples. Always, I gave them a piece of bakery, bottle of water and apple,
mm-hmm,
and I spoke to them for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It was full speed networking, like speed dating. Speed networking, speed dating is 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I gave them 5 minutes to see, can I start a conversation with a homeless person? Can
mm-hmm
I get them to share something with me? Can I stay attentive on them? I was also practicing my English, which is my third language, but what I've learned is that I am an introvert and I am an immigrant, which means I'm finding it difficult to network in general, which is quite complex from what I've learned today, because I've been studying it for 10 years, the arts and the sciences of it. But I've learned that as an introvert, I can actually manage my battery. So there is, for example, if I go to a big event, I won't stand in the middle of an event for too long because there's too much action all around me. And introverts tend to be a lot more sensitive to our surroundings.
Yeah.
So I'll tend to stand maybe on the side, maybe next to a wall, talking to people. Like as an introvert, you don't want to stand next to the bar. There's a lot of action in front of you and in back of you. As an introvert, for example, I've learned that every sometimes 45 minutes or so, less than an hour, this is not so much today because today I've learned how to hack my own system. You can completely reprogram your whole system. I can walk you through it. Just send me a message. But what I've learned is that if I go to the bathroom and wash my hands for 1 or 2 minutes, mm-hmm. it resets my battery completely. Mm-hmm. Literally just wash my hands slowly, slowly. And no one cares. No one really watches. No one knows how long you're washing yeah. your hands for. But for me personally, water, because I'm an Aries, I've got a lot of energy in me, a lot of fire. And because I have that, and I'm a very passionate person, I've learned that my energy levels drops down very quickly. Because mm-hmm. when I finally get someone that I'm talking to and they're listening to me, I get all passionate and I'll talk and energy level drops down. I'll find a way to escape. Got to go to the bathroom and go wash my hands a little bit. Mm-hmm. Come back. Today, I've learned how to watch my energy levels. I also have found that a lot of introverts or a lot of general people in the world, when we go out to events, we have a mask on. Mm-hmm. We have a mask not to be hurt. It could be the reptilian, you know, side of the of our human that is protective of ourselves because everyone else could be danger. Mm-hmm. So it's protecting us from strangers that we don't know. Because we were told as kids, stranger is danger. Mm-hmm. Don't take a lollipop from a stranger. Yeah. But I tell my kids, if the stranger is working in a candy shop and you're walking to the candy shop and they offer you a candy, yeah, take it. Just ask mommy and daddy if it's okay to eat it. So this idea that we've been brainwashed to not talk to strangers, that strangers are dangerous, is completely wrong.
And there's also the judgment part. I find myself on networking. It's like, or even when I don't know people, you have these judgments of like, come on.
So the judgment part is a very good point you make, because again, that's a part of us that protects us to feel confident yeah. and to feel comfortable in the situation. And we tend to judge both others around us, and we also tend to judge ourselves. There's a very, very simple hack to that. It's the complimentary hack. So if you're coming to an event, as soon as you walk into an event, instead of starting to judge yourself, what am I doing here? Who am I going to speak to? Look around at all these weird hippie people. Again, the same event. Right, oh, where's the food? Why does it smell like this? As soon as you find ourselves, and it's not criticizing or judging, it's just, it's how our brain thinks. Mm-hmm. You can catch yourself doing that, talking to you, catch yourself doing that, mm-hmm. and actually start complimenting the situation. Look for 10 amazing things about the location. Mm-hmm. Look for, remind yourself of 5 or 10 amazing things of why you're there right now.
It's like a gratitude practice, but specifically for that event.
Again, gratitude is one thing, but it's not gratitude. It's complimentary. So look around and say, wow, that's an amazing piece of art. This is amazing people around me. I love this place right here. That art mm-hmm. and this food is so beautiful. You haven't tasted it yet. Like, these people look really, really cool. I see that I know a couple of them, and all these other ones look confident. They look sexy. I'd love to talk to them. Mm-hmm. I know why I'm here. I'm here to share my knowledge. I'm here to share my wisdom. I'm here to share my energy. And I know I have it because I've had my success. I know what I can share with people. Like, you basically just say that to yourself. And by saying that to yourself, I believe you'll find your body taking steps towards the right people. Okay. And you'll walk towards the right people, and you build beautiful relationships.
And this, I really liked your share also about the, like, for example, talking to the homeless people, because there is something also in the networking sometimes that feels to me like, oh, that person is important, is gonna, they have a lot of money, I want to speak to them. And there's an objectification of the person that can feel a little bit weird sometimes, like it can be very status driven.
It's so, you know, I lived in many countries in my life, and the one of the countries I spent a lot of time in, 10 years plus, was in Russia. Mm. And I learned a lot about culture, because living in Canada and Israel and England and Singapore here for big chunks of years in each one of those countries, you learn a lot about each culture. And specifically for me, I was studying, how does that culture build relationships? How do they network? What does that mean for them? And there's a lot of differences between every culture, and spending a lot of time in the US, it's like, wow. So with specifically when I lived in Russia, that's when I started learning about status. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to judge by status? If they look rich or if mm-hmm. they look poor, can I get value from them if they're poor? Maybe not. Should I give them value of my time? Maybe not. I completely flipped that over, and I was like, I can get value from every single human being that I interact with. I believe that every human being that comes into my life is an angel, as long as I see them that way and I ask them the right questions. Mm. So the judgment aspect, this is one of the reasons I started networking a lot with homeless people, because I found that I was judging people at events. Mm. I went to events and I was looking for the guys that look rich, mm. to talk to them, to raise money. I was looking for the women that looked the sexiest. not necessarily the smartest or the best ones to talk to, the friendliest ones, the kindest ones. So I wanted to switch my own brain. I'm not saying that you guys should do that, but I wanted to reprogram myself, and I had to break down the program first. Program that's been given to me by family and society and schools and stuff. They gave us their program. I wanted to break it down. Today, on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, I'm networking with royal family, you know, some of the local kings here in Bali. I'm constantly networking with billionaires who ask me for advice on how to enter a new country, or how to set up a new network and a new community they've never learned about. And I love the billionaires asking me for advice. But for me, I don't see them as a billionaire. I see them as a human being that is very resourceful. And if they're asking me for advice, I respect them even more because they're willing to be vulnerable and they know they don't have everything. Yeah. So for me, with such people who are willing to ask for help, who are willing to ask for advice, and they're not just saying, give me money, please, if they're on the street, they're maybe saying, just give me time. And most homeless people don't want money. They just want attention. Yeah. And that's what most human beings want, attention. And if we're able to manage attention that we give to people, we're able to manage our network, which is the same thing we could do on WhatsApp or Telegram, on any social media that we manage. We're able to look at everyone that we're connecting with. And what I highly challenge all of you to do is just take your phone and scroll down 3 months and 6 months, and then come back to status and ask yourself, why have I not given any attention to these people for 6 months? Like, is this person not important enough in general? Is this person not important for me? Did I just lose track of time? Can I leave them a 30-second voice message telling them how I'm doing and ask them what's new and exciting in their life? And this is the practice that I do every single day. I'll scroll back 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, because I want to avoid the status. Every human being that comes to my life comes for a reason. I want to explore not what opportunities you can work together, but what value can we offer to each other? Maybe you need introductions. Maybe I need to be interviewed by you because you'll say something to me that will trigger. And I embrace that. And of course, I don't keep in touch with everyone I met in life. It's impossible. But I've learned to develop my intuition and my networking sixth sense to listen to myself and say, based on networking priorities, who are the people that I should send a message to right now and why?
But even in that, like, that drives your relationships a lot towards, I mean, you say it was for value in general, so it doesn't have to be business.
It, for me, it's 99% not business, because I don't have that much time for business. I follow up with people who are amazing. I follow up with people who are inspiring, who are doing great projects. I follow up with people who are just, in general, doing something to add value to the world. And the one thing I can always say to them is, hey, do you need any connections? Easiest value to offer people, and you can do that every single day. On an average day, I'll connect maybe 5-10 people together, which means it's double. It's 10 or 20 people that actually I bring together. I do it in a very simple way, put them in a WhatsApp message together, leave a 1 minute voice message to introduce them, and then sometimes I try to follow up a few days later to see if they actually connected. This is a way for me to add value and nurture my network. I don't want to do business with everyone I know. I want to be able to be maybe invited to their events. If they have a cool event, they can invite me to be a speaker or to just be a guest. Like, you know, I got a nice invitation from Mind Valley, from Vision. If I want to come in as a VIP guest to his event in Dubai. It's awesome. I believe he sent that to me because on average, every 2-3 months, I send him a nice little voice message and he always responds. And we don't need to do business together. We just need to add value to each other. And I love that I could do the same thing with like Tony Robbins' team. And suddenly COVID ended and suddenly everything opens up. Tony's doing a big event in England and Tony's team sends me a message like, hey, you're the one of the first partners we're calling. We'd love to activate you. Can you come and work with us again? And yeah, that is a business opportunity, but for 3 years during COVID, it was not business. Yeah. And we still found a way to stay in touch with their coaches and their teams, even team members that have left. I believe that nurturing our network is the best investment we can make for our own future.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's good. Yeah. Actually, coming back to the event also, because you took-
Which we're going to do that at the event. We're going to teach you how to nurture your network.
Yeah.
It's a very important thing to teach people who to follow up with. If you're in flow, but you give yourself, you even put it in the calendar every day, 30 minutes to follow up with 20 people. Do you know how powerful that is? You can build a brand new network in your life. And most people who are too much in flow don't follow up. They're dreamers. They're thinking about who else to connect with, and usually they connect with the same people again and again. I want to help people expand outside of their network to allow themselves to have the dreamer's ear and the executor's ear and the financier's ear and the admin's ear, and find a way to stay in touch with everyone just a little bit. Even as an artist, no need to be a manager when you're in flow.
Well, I'm talking about roles and like the finance people and the visionaries. While we were talking about it, I had a little fear for this event coming in April. I was like, are we going to be too much on the side of visionaries, dreamers, and lacking maybe some of the project manager or those kind of profile?
And you know what? You're right to have that fear. You're 100% right. And I think it's important that we as a team outline who do we want to have here.
Yeah.
And potentially some people, we need to just make sure that these five people show up, and maybe they pay less or they even pay more because they can get massive amount of ideas and resources around them. It's important to make sure that people invite those admin people who are tired of their jobs maybe and they want something else, or even amazing admin people. Like, I know a lot of business assistants who are bored. They have a job. They're bored in their job, but they have 3-4 hours every single day for free, which they don't need to be paid for. Having such people around dreamers is absolutely incredible. And this is something I've learned about myself, because I'm a dreamer. I'm an artist. I forced myself to become an entrepreneur in life because I enjoyed making money so I can help my family. I enjoyed making money so I can give gifts. I'm a gift guy. I love inviting people for dinners. I love hosting in our home. And I'm not going to ask people to pay for everything. I love inviting people to my events free of charge, and I'm sponsoring them. They're not coming free of charge. I'm sponsoring them, and I enjoy doing that, which is why I pushed myself to become an entrepreneur, because an entrepreneur creates solutions for problems out there for people, and for that they get paid, and they can do whatever they want with that money. But the manager inside of me has never been truly happy in businesses. I've had to be managers. If you look at like my LinkedIn account or my resume, I've been a manager for more than 10 years of my life in different companies. I did a good job, but I did it from a position of, I need to do this because it's something that I will learn from in order to become a better person in the future. I didn't really know too much about why I'm doing it, but it was cool jobs. I enjoyed it. I learned something every single day. It challenged me. The artist inside of me liked that challenge of growing and spreading my wings. But I understand today that as an artist, I don't manage my own time. I have an assistant that helps me manage my calendar. And having an assistant is super easy and super cheap, and it can be virtual, and it's amazing.
You can teach us to do that.
100% going to teach you guys to do
that. Super valuable.
I'm not really good at managing finances. So we have a part-time accountant working with us to help us understand what's going on with money. Because, hey, if we're not good at something, ask for help. Mm-hmm. Let someone else do that work. It's a dirty work, in my opinion. It's not that dirty, but I call it the dirty work because it takes a lot of energy for me. When I do it, I sweat. I'm like, oh my God, it's not fun for me to do. So if someone else could do that, I'll pay them money. I'll help them out. It's wonderful.
And I was thinking it's really good to have you at this event, because also you bring structure. You bring like systems, right? And I feel so that's something you can give to the incubator. And as you said, even in the mastermind, when you talk to people, you give attention, but you also, you have boundaries around your time. You do like 5 minutes, and living in Ubud, sometimes it's like I go to a circle and it's nice, but I share for 2 minutes, and then because we set a 2-minute share, and then the next person shares for 10 minutes. Way more.
I don't allow that.
Yeah.
I don't allow that in my masterminds ever, because not only is it not fair for the person who only gave 2 minutes, that doesn't open heart, because the person who's starting to share more, they feel significant. So suddenly I feel more important than everyone else. I'm sharing and sharing and sharing. I think that my problem is more important than your problem. And I'm actually disconnecting. Because if you just spoke for 2 minutes, you're respecting the whole circle. And you see me talk. Even though I have a really important problem that really needs to be solved, maybe health, maybe wow, you're starting to judge me. You're starting to criticize me. So by me sharing longer, I've actually done more harm for myself and our relationship. So yeah, that's 100% something I'd like to bring to the circles, which is why I'm happy I'm coming in the second part, where hopefully there's already a lot of mind maps on the walls. There's already a lot of ideas, and you know, how do we now execute that? How do we put that into our timeline? How do we put that into a project plan? How do we put that in something like Notion so it's very, very visible for everyone and everyone can have access to it? How can we create a knowledge base maybe so that everyone have access to the same resources? We, for example, in our team have this incredible list of ongoing list that keeps on getting added to of all the greatest events in the world. And we have them, it's being done by freelancers, the greatest events in the world in different spaces. And we have all the information you need. And in many cases, we even have passwords on how to get in that event for free. We also have right now the best AI softwares in the world to automate so much in our lives. We really have accumulated the best AI softwares to be able to cut out a lot of the, you know, the extra little work that we tend to do or avoid doing because we're tired of it. AI could solve it all. So my objective is to come in and give people the tools, the structures, and hopefully we'll have the right kind of project leaders around us that can say, okay, how do we do an event like this every 3 months? You know, how do we do an incubator more regularly? How do we make the incubator more globally? How do we get an incubator with 1,000 people next time? I like scale.
Yeah, I'd love, by the way, with these events to do, for example, with the DAO incubator, to have more and to go to other places. And
we need to.
I think we're going to do that. It's going to be a mix of having more events, and but to me, actually, also moving forward with what we've created there. So I'm super excited about it. We're touching towards the end of this episode. Is there a last share you'd like? And also, well, first, can you share a bit how people can follow you and what you're working on? And also last thoughts.
Sure, thank you. So first of all, thank you for the questions. It's interesting, it's engaging. I'm Gil Petersill, the only Gil Petersill on Google. So LinkedIn, Instagram, easy place to connect with me. GilPetersill.com if you really want to check out what I do. I don't have any specific projects or programs that I need to sell because we have incredible teams working on everything regularly. But if we could find a way to help you somehow, especially when it comes to impact projects that are now ongoing. We're not interested in more ideas right now because the world already has enough incredible ideas with great teams, but we're looking for teams that now need additional resources to scale. We're looking for teams that need maybe expansion into new countries. We're looking for teams that are looking to maybe adjust or pivot their strategy to become COVID proof. So there is no challenge on how potentially if another COVID comes in, how to make sure that we don't go down, but to make sure that we actually thrive through difficult times. That's an easy way to connect with me. And last thoughts, you know, constantly build a network in your life, constantly. You shouldn't do it in order to find a job or in order to start a new business. You should constantly be building a network, even if it's one new person per week. And you should be always looking to see how you can nurture your network. I've been studying the arts and the sciences of human networking for the last 10 years. I've gone deep into studying the way nature networks itself and the correlation between how nature networks and how we network. I'm currently studying and doing a PhD on the connection between time and the algorithms that we give to time, like the days, the weeks, the hours, and all that, and how we connect that to networking, how we connect that to attention that we give to people in our lives, and how do we break that down into an algorithm. So if anybody out there is also studying this stuff or interested in learning this stuff, please come to me because I know that after studying this for 10 years, on my best day of networking, and I've been on covers of magazines as a networking guru, I've taught this subject at universities around the world in over 1,000 speeches, I still believe on my best day of networking, I would rank myself at a 6, maybe a 6.5 out of 10. 60%! And most people that I meet at events and I ask them, how would you rank yourself? Most people will say 7, 8, or 9. And I feel sad when I hear that because it's telling me that they don't see that much room for growth in what I believe is the most important subject in life, how we build relationships, authentic relationships, deep relationships. So I'm here to learn. I see myself as the number one student for human networking in the world. So if you're out there as a teacher and you can share something with me, please send me a message. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Gil. And of course, thank you for listening to this episode. I'll put down under the video the links also if you want to join us obviously in the month of April here in Ubud for this like epic co-creation, and I'll put the links to your pages also, Gil. So thank you so much, Gil, for coming and for sharing what you've learned, your wisdom, your excitement. Thank you to the listener also for your precious time. If you like this, share, like, subscribe, and everyone have a beautiful day.
Thank you, brother.